Welcome in to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Across from me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. We are here to preview a UFC fight night ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. Should be a...
Not giving thanks for this fight card.
No, I was going to say, should be a... No, I can't shine this up. This is like the driest turkey of Thanksgiving of a fight card you could get.
Look, I don't like Thanksgiving food.
Okay, hold on, drop the music. Okay, here's my wild take on this, okay? I heard Cap and Jay Hood talking about this with Shane Norling earlier this morning. We're recording this on Thursday before Thanksgiving, on the Thursday before the Saturday of this UFC fight night, right? Here's my philosophy on that. If you don't like Thanksgiving food, you've never been to a good Thanksgiving.
Interesting.
Simple as that.
Yeah, and my retort is, if you like Thanksgiving food, why don't you eat it any other day of the year?
Because it's special. It's my favorite, Jordan. I'm not kidding you. It's my favorite day of the year. I'm not kidding you. It is my favorite day of the year. You get to eat and drink as much as you want. There's football on all day. I enjoy seeing my family, so I've got no problem with that. But to me, it's like, my mom is a good cook. So I've had people come to Thanksgiving and been like, yeah, this is awesome. It's not just because I like it because it's my mom's cooking. Like, she makes good food. And so I feel like my philosophy is, if you don't like Thanksgiving food, you've never been to a good Thanksgiving.
Okay, my retort to that is, I am on the same wavelength as you as far as Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving.
Okay.
My family growing up was just us four, me, my brother, my mom, and my dad. Nobody really else. But then when I got married, my wife Jess, big family.
Okay.
Cousins coming from out of town.
Yeah.
A full week of festivities, football game, drinking every night, watching football, going to the movies, eating good food, what have you. But when you look at Thanksgiving and getting together for the meal, I just don't like any of that food personally. I don't like turkey. I don't like stuffing. I don't like mashed potatoes.
Okay.
I mean, there is the turkey slider. So it's the leftover turkey late night with the little King's Hawaiian buns.
Okay.
We put those together. Those are fantastic.
Those are great. Desserts? Desserts?
Yeah, the pies, whatever. Fine, I get you.
And I
put together a corn pudding souffle. I cook that. I make that. It's my father-in-law's recipe.
My father-in-law does that too.
Okay, there you go. But the thing, my whole argument is like, everything about it's great. I just want to have some pizza. I just want to have some wings.
No pizza on Thanksgiving. You can have pizza every day of the year.
But why do I have to have something in a glorious holiday where it's all about eating, drinking, and football that I got to eat something I don't like?
You got to understand, as growing up Muslim, like, I didn't get, I don't get the big Christmas dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm a Jew, so
exactly.
I don't even know
so we both,
about that.
Listen, we're both at Denny's on Christmas Eve.
or Chinese food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I bonded with the Jewish kids in my high school because we would always be at Denny's on Christmas Eve, just hanging out, right? Yeah. That's how we're solving conflicts.
Right, well, this Christmas Eve's at the Bears game, so if you want to come to the suite, just let me know.
I'll be in Indianapolis, I appreciate the offer. But, again, it's a what time do you guys eat, too?
I think we eat throughout, but it's like late afternoon.
But what time is the bird on the table?
4 or 5.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm not one of these noon eaters.
Oh no, hell no.
No noon. Like I well, we have like there's appetizers.
Yeah,
there's like
stuff
a whole
to eat.
Yeah, come on.
Your cheeses and meats.
Absolutely.
And what have you. Yeah, exactly.
We have a
football game to play.
Exactly.
So we can't be eating
two football
at
games.
Noon.
We're usually eating around like 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Good time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dinner. It's Thanksgiving dinner. It's not Thanksgiving
lunch. I'm on board. I just don't particularly like the food.
I heard Shay, and to follow up, Shay Norling did say, who has filled in for me hosting this podcast as well. So he said, to be fair, I've never been to a good Thanksgiving. So like, all right, well then there, at least admit it, you know? Like people can cook and, you know, like Chris Bleck and Abdallah with me, his dad deep fries the turkey, Cajun deep fried turkey, will change your life.
Okay.
Will change your life.
I'm open. I'm open to it. I'm not like steadfast and I can't eat it. I just would prefer not to.
That's fine.
But my opinion can change.
If you ever come to my Thanksgiving, we'll have a pizza for you.
Okay.
I'll make sure you get a pizza.
Perfect.
Like my sister's pescatarian, so she gets fish.
Yes.
Like we get her like a piece of fish, but she eats all the sides. But not the stuffing, obviously, because it's been in the bird and stuff like that. But she gets stuffing that's outside of the bird.
I like stuffing. So the stuffing on this fight card is Paul Craig, the bear Jew.
I don't like stuffing. I love watching that guy.
Well, whatever the most important element, side dish, or main course that you like out of Thanksgiving, That's Paul Craig tonight for this fight card.
All right.
The rest of the fight card kind of sucks. Not a lot of notable names.
Yeah.
Paul Craig, the Bear Jew, never in a boring fight.
I feel like that's the like the sweet potato with the marshmallows on top that are like, you know, which you take the little
Not a big sweet potato guy.
Flamethrower so, too.
But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Just fall in love with whatever you like
whatever
out of
you
the Thanksgiving
like,
meal.
That's Paul Craig.
Paul Craig.
Brendan Allen is whatever you hate because he is, what, plus 300?
No,
plus 310.
Paul Craig is plus 310.
Oh, sorry, Paul Craig. So, yeah, Brendan Allen is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
He's gross.
He's whatever you don't like.
To me, he's the inside the bird stuffing.
Okay.
That's disgusting to me. I don't want something that's cooked inside of that. Like, it's raw.
Yeah. I guess he'd be the sweet potatoes because I don't like sweet potatoes.
That's fair. All right, this is the Unnamed MMA podcast.
Yeah, we're supposed to be talking MMA.
That's fine. It's Thanksgiving. Right. Everybody talks stuff like this. Yeah. It's fine. We've been in this business long enough that this is what you do, you know? So let's recap real quick what we saw at UFC 295, which was a very good pay-per-view. Our parlay hit. Our parlay, or no.
No, it did not.
It did not hit. That's right. Mackenzie Dern ruined the parlay.
Mackenzie Dern.
2 weeks ago.
Didn't know how to do stand up.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago it hit, and I was like, all right, this thing's cash, basically. And then Mackenzie Dern can't fight, you know, standing up and gets rocked, and there goes the parlay. But it was still a good pay per view. Like, it was still a good event by the UFC.
I mean, look, when you have five, you know, your five fight main card, all of them end in finishes.
That's perfect.
That's perfect. You know, three of the five in that first round. The way I look at it is this. I incorrectly handicapped the Sergey Pavlovich and Tom Aspinall. I forgot the fact of how really good Tom Aspinall is and all the hype leading into his UFC debut and how just good of a boxer he is and a guy that was kind of pegged in a similar spotlight as a Stipe Miocic before he got to the UFC, a future champion. And despite now we're hearing about a back injury and despite the ACL tear that he had to recover from in short notice, I also forgot, I watched, and I talked about it last week on the podcast, I rewatched the Sergey Pavlovich-Curtis Blaydes fight. And in that fight, Pavlovich did get through Curtis Blaydes, knocked him out in the first round. But he was taking some shots.
Mm-hmm.
He was taking some leaky defense
mm-hmm.
in the stand-up game. You do that against Tom Aspinall, you're going to sleep. And that's
also
what happened.
Like the backstory of Aspinall, like his dad quit his job to start training him, and like just the whole backstory. Like it's a good, like he was very emotional, like after the win, like it was very good. Now it is the interim, but whatever. Like it's still, it's good to see. Like
yeah.
It was a fun event, and he put on a show, and like yeah, like I'm rooting for that.
Yeah, exactly, I like him, but I'm trying to also make money and make people
that's
money.
True. Yes,
and Sergey Pavlovich was the
yes.
wrong selection. If you follow me on Instagram or social on Twitter. I talked about Alex Pereira, gave that out as a free selection, so he looked good. You can't stand in front of Alex Pereira in round one, two, or five. Jiří Procházka did. He got knocked out, so that was a nice win. And look, you know, St. Denis continues his role, a beautiful head kick knockout of Matt Frivola. That was nice. Diego Lopez also looked extremely solid in his win. So the question is Tom Aspinall, who's he fighting next? We're hearing Jalton Almeida, maybe, because there's really no one else in the heavyweight division. And Alex Pereira is going to get a good fight. Hopefully it's Jamal Hill if he recovers, or if not, we'll maybe
that'll
get a winner of Jan Blachowicz, Alexander Rakic that's coming up in January.
All right, let's try to make some people some money for this weekend. We've got a UFC fight night that is not great.
It's good.
No, it's not. No, we don't get paid by UFC. We don't have to sell it. It's not great. It's not good. Chase Hooper goes against Jordan Leavitt. We'll start with that one. Leavitt is plus 180. Chase Hooper is minus 235. Anytime I see a lot of DWCS, Dana White Contender Series, I know this is not going to be a great card from a name standpoint, is Wisp. But Jordan Leavitt, he's 11-2 overall, 4-2 in the UFC. And Chase Hooper just made his lightweight debut his last time out. So how do you see this one?
Yeah, I think it was a smart decision for him to go and bulk up to 155. You know, it wasn't necessarily a drastic weight cut at 145. I mean, Chase Hooper's one of the youngest fighters still on the UFC roster. He's only 24 years of age. A Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner, very comfortable off of his back, looks for submissions, very lengthy. Stand-up game needs a lot of improvement still. He's very subpar, you know, in that. And quite frankly, in his losses, it's either been against a guy like Alex Caceres, which he was extremely overmatched in the stand-up game, or he was outmanned. Like, he was outmanned against Steven Garcia. He was outmanned against Steven Peterson. And guys that he looked to take the fight to the ground. Jordan Leavitt kind of offers that same skill set. Leavitt's a guy that prefers to grapple. he's 28 years old, so he's a little bit more mature into his body, and he's been in there with Patty Pimblett, so he's had the spotlight shown on him in the past. And I think, look, either Chase Hooper has evolved as a striker and really improved in his boxing, or he's going to run into some issues, again, trying to grapple with a guy that's comfortable grappling and getting into an exchange like that, and is going to be the bigger and larger fighter because of just the age gap of 28 and 24. So I'm shocked by the odds that Jordan Leavitt is being disrespected and or Chase Hooper is being immensely respected in this fight. I think it has a lot to do with the recency bias, and Jordan Leavitt obviously did not look great in his fight against Patty Pimblett. But I think this is either a fight that you play the Monkey King, you play Jordan Leavitt, just because of the skill sets that are going to match up. They mirror each other. And for Chase Hooper to gain an advantage, he's going to have to score on his feet, which I don't have confidence in, or he's going to have the grappling advantage, which I don't see that happening. So Jordan Leavitt would be a suggestion, not an official play.
A sprinkle.
Probably not going to be a FatJackSports.com pick.
Sprinkle.
But a sprinkle, especially at the plus money.
One of our sprinkles here. All right, Jordan Leavitt plus 180. Method Victor here. Chase Hooper by points is plus 160. Hooper by submission is plus 420. Also, Leavitt by points is plus 420. Hooper by knockout, plus 490. And Leavitt by submission is plus 650.
I think the two that you'd have to look at, or if you want to maybe add some value, is Hooper via submission. He's still very good in that submission game. And maybe Jordan Leavitt falls into something, gets caught in a triangle, gets caught in an armbar. You could see that happening. Or Jordan Leavitt just controls him, dominates, smothers him, you know, scores, and Chase Hooper's not able to dictate where the fight goes. So those would be my two selections if you want to add a little bit more value to it. But I think Jordan Leavitt is certainly a safe play, especially, again, at that plus money, at plus 180 price.
All right, we'll go to our next fight here. Michael Morales against Jake Matthews. Jake Matthews is plus 230, the underdog. Michael Morales is minus 310 as the favorite. Morales 15-0, and Matthews has more fights than has more total appearances than in the octagon than Morales. He's 18. So it's going to be a decent fight, I think, despite the odds. So this should be a good one here, despite the odds. But someone's here is perfect, and that is Morales, and he's also minus 310.
Yeah, I mean, this is the next step up in competition for Michael Morales. They've kind of slow played him a little bit. Very good athlete, well-rounded, knockout power. Definitely has some submissions and grappling to his game, and this is the next step up in his competition. I think he looked great against Griffin his last time out, a similar skill set in Jake Matthews, who, you know, look, he made his debut back in 2014 and had been in the UFC now basically forever, has fought a laundry list of fighters in the welterweight division, recently has rotated wins and losses. He had a very surprising loss to Semi the Jetty, Matthew Semlisberger, prior to that, had a good knockout of Andre Fiallo. I think this fight's going to just, again, be a showcase fight for Michael Morales. I think that Jake Matthews is tough enough on the feet and well-versed enough on the ground to not get caught up in anything. Michael Morales, I do believe, wins the fight, but I'm actually looking at value here, and I'm taking it as Michael Morales hasn't shown me that he's going to be a consistent killer and finisher. I think he's going to score. I think he's going to get some takedowns. But I think Matthews tough enough to get through the three rounds. So I like Morales via decision. I believe it's at a plus 250 price right now.
Okay. Yeah, so value hunting for me. Morales by knockout is plus 400. Morales by points, plus 230. Matthews by points, plus 500. Matthews by knockout, plus 900. And then the rest are ridiculous. So your official recommendation is Morales by points at plus 230.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be the safe play. Look, I mean, he could continue to evolve. And as these fighters continue to evolve, you do see finishes on their resume. But I think, you know, just Jake Matthews is tough enough to grind it out, survive, and Michael Morales just scores. Maybe you put him in, you stuff him into a parlay. But I think Michael Morales' decision, even at the plus 30, at plus 250, plus 230, still good enough for me.
All right. I like that you do the value hunting for me sometimes. That's good. That's good. I like that. Our main event here, Brendan Allen versus Paul Craig. Brendan Allen loves to win, and his last three wins have all come by rear naked choke. So he loves the rear naked choke. And we already talked about Paul Craig. It's going to be awesome. The Bear Jew, he comes out. It's going to be fun. His fights are always always exciting. He's one of my favorite fighters to watch. This is his first scheduled main event. So this one is going five rounds. Is this the first time he's fought in a five-round fight?
I think this is the first time he's been in a five-round fight. This and second appearance at 185.
All right, so second appearance, 185. First five-round fight for Paul Craig. This should be a great one. The odds don't dictate that, though. As we mentioned earlier, Brendan Allen is minus 440, and Paul Craig is plus 310 here. So are we going with the underdog again just because we love watching him fight and love the way he fights?
Well, look, I think Brendan Allen should not be a $4 favorite. I think he's extremely overvalued, you know, with that. And, you know, granted, he's surging. He's looked very good. Five-fight win streak now at 185, including a submission win over Andre Munoz, the guy that Paul Craig defeated in his middleweight debut. Brendan Allen, you know, well-rounded. Everywhere he's good, you know, striking good, he's got good cardio. He obviously has submissions as well. 13 of his 22 victories have come via submission. Does at times fight stupid, makes mental mistakes, you know, and Paul Craig is a very dangerous fighter for you to do that. We actually talked about that. I handicapped the fight a couple of fights ago for Paul Craig against Nikita Krylov, a guy that also at times very well-rounded, very skilled, fight's dumb. And Nikita Krylov decided to go into Paul Craig's guard. Paul Craig caught him with a triangle choke and got the win and scored a victory for us at plus money. So, I love Paul Craig at 185. He was always an undersized 205er. I don't think he struggles with the weight cut. And his power is actually starting to carry from 205 to 185, where obviously he's going to be the bigger guy in the octagon come fight night. And I think you're looking at this fight, they're expecting a finish early. The under 1.5 is $1.10. So what I'm getting at is I believe we will see a finish in this fight. I do not see us going five rounds. I think either Brendan Allen scores something, gets a knockout on the feet, or maybe Paul Craig, again, so dangerous to get some sort of submission. I can't make an official play on the Bear Jew. I want to. I really can't. Just there's still just question marks about his ability to take a punch.
But he's your stuffing.
He is my stuffing. In all likelihood, I will play him, you know, because he's you know, nearly a $4 underdog.
Yeah.
But I think that the safe play is likely an under, you know, at 2.5, even under at 1.5. I think we're getting a quick finish in this main event.
All right, so some value hunting here. Allen by knockout is plus 125. Allen by submission, plus 230. Allen by points, plus 650. And then we get to Paul Craig, who's by submission, plus 650. And then 10-1 to win by knockout and 15-1 to win by points. So
you got to take the submission.
You sprinkle on the submission, right, at plus 650?
So dangerous.
Yeah.
Brendan Allen makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, again, Brendan Allen has not been, you know, submitted since Trevon Giles did it to him, like, way back when, like, in his fifth mixed martial arts fight. So,
yeah.
It'd be shocking. But, you know, again, that's how Paul Craig wins fights. Even though he won his last fight via TKO, he just had Munoz in a precarious position and used some elbows to get him out of there. But I like Paul Craig, you know, if you're going to play him, and then play him via submission at that 6-1 price.
All right, so we'll sprinkle on Paul Craig. We're going to take Morales by points at plus 230, and we're going to do a little sprinkle on Levitt at plus 180 for that fight, the third-to-last fight in the main card for this UFC fight night coming up on Saturday. You can get all of Jordan's picks at fatjacksports.com. Sign up there. NFL's been hot. College football's winding. It sucks. College football's winding down. There's only 2 weeks left until the championship games. It sucks. I hate it that it ends that fast. But anyway, it does come to an end soon, so make sure you sign up for Fat Jack Sports. And then, what's that?
Oh.
Is that our news dog?
That's the news dog.
What's the news, boy? We've got news. We've got news. Apparently, Conor McGregor has tweeted or spoke a little bit, but mostly tweeted about fighting at a possible appearance at UFC 300 coming up at an unknown date next year. UFC 300 is going to be a huge deal for the UFC. Obviously, anytime they reach a milestone of whether it's 250 or 200 and now 300, they're going to try to make a big deal out of it. And I can't think of a bigger deal than one of the biggest draws of all time in MMA. Everyone knows who Conor McGregor is. You, me, everyone on the street, like, people know who Conor McGregor is. So even though he hasn't fought in 2 years, it would still be a huge deal, even if not for a belt or some belt that they make up. it would still be a huge deal if he came back and fought for UFC 300.
Yeah, and look, he submitted his, you know, testing into the drug, you know, testing pool, and he came out on social and said, April, UFC 300, it makes sense. It's a huge card. Traditionally, UFC 100 way back when was headlined by Brock Lesnar, and George St. Pierre was on that card. UFC 200 also featured the return of Brock Lesnar. That was Anderson Silva, Daniel Cormier, I think Amanda Nunes was on the card.
Brock Lesnar fighting 300 too? Can we get him to 300?
He possibly could. You know, I think anything I think anything goes for UFC 300. So, you know, that's pretty cool. It's going to be against Michael Chandler. So they had the coaching on the Ultimate Fighter Series. Now they're going to fight. Should be a barn burner for sure. I suspect Jim Miller will also be on the card. That was one of his goals to finish out his mixed martial arts career. He fought at UFC 100. He fought on UFC 200.
Man,
why not put him on UFC 300 as well? I would pine for a title fight or two also added to that card. But we talked about that last time on the podcast. There really isn't one that's, like, available. Maybe you do Aspinall Almeida interim heavyweight title fight. You could do that. Both of those guys just fought the previous 2 weeks. You could do that. Light heavyweight, who knows? Jamal Hill's still on the shelf. Welterweight, too big of a turnaround. Too big of a turnaround.
Here's what I'm telling you.
What's up?
November 16th, 2023, right? This is just you and me talking here, okay? What's UFC 299? What's the main event for
Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera.
Oh, man. Sean O'Malley's shoulder might start to hurt a little bit.
And push it back?
Push it back.
Push it back a month?
UFC 300. Maybe someone else's shoulder. A little hurt. Maybe a knee. A little injury. I don't know. Can't go. You have to have a title fight. And that's, I mean, come on. Would anyone not expect that to happen? Like someone just gets, I can't fight. Give me another month.
Well, maybe the one is Alexander Volkanovski.
It could
You know, February, too quick of a turnaround. We're going to push it back 2 months and really at Topuria.
Absolutely. I mean, come on.
Either way, you got to have belts on the line.
That's
what I want. Belts on the line.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. If someone gets delayed, right?
I'm on board.
All right, let's see it happen. He's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. You can get all of his picks, like I mentioned, FatJackSports.com. Thanks to our news dog for alerting us of the news of Conor McGregor tweeting. Also, didn't tell us that Tyson Fury was named sexiest fighter alive. He just beat Conor McGregor for sexiest fighter alive. I don't know who I would have given it to. I'm not rating fighters like that. I mean, probably Volk, maybe. Maybe.
Good looking man.
Yeah. He's stocky. He's a good looking guy. And I'm Adam Abdallah. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. No show next week. We're off, so Jordan can enjoy his crappy Thanksgiving pizza, and I will enjoy my great Thanksgiving dinner and turkey and everything that I love about my favorite
day of
the year.
I'm so thankful you and I host a podcast.
And I'm very thankful that that you asked me to do this podcast with you, because I love UFC now, and I did not love it before. I just wasn't not aware of it. Now I am, and it's great. It's fun. It's so much fun. Thank you. Thank you to everyone that listens, too. We really appreciate those of you that listen and interact with us socially during fights or before fights, all that kind of stuff. Thank you guys for listening. We really do appreciate it. We'll be back after Thanksgiving to preview another UFC event. Thank you for listening.